Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org, and right now in this video we're going to cover a really important topic to living a self-actualized, charged kind of life, and that is how to live with authentic self-expression. To me, the more I study personal development, the more I look into what it really takes to live an exciting, amazing, huge life, the kind of life that I want for you, the kind of life that I picture for myself, is to be getting more and more into the frame of being able to express yourself authentically. And when you do that, the kind of joy that you get from that, but also the kind of amazing performance that you get and the kind of creative output that you can have when you're able to unleash your full creative expression and unblock yourself, unstifle yourself, stop worrying about what people think of you, and just go out there and unleash and create. And the reason I started actually thinking about this is because I've been thinking about this concept of style lately. You know, having a certain sense of style. And the reason I was thinking about that is because, well, I'm shooting these videos, and one of the things I'm doing is as I'm practicing my public speaking, and as I'm practicing my writing, and as I'm looking at other people out there, other self-help gurus, looking at them and seeing, you know, what are like the best guys in the industry doing? Like, what is Tony Robbins doing? What is Evan Pagan doing? What are some of these other people that I really look up to? What are they doing and how did they do it? And one thing that I noticed as public speakers, everyone has a unique style. Everyone's a little bit different. Some people are very laid back and casual in their approach, in the way they speak. And they speak in short phrases. Other people are very long-winded and they can be more stern, have a more stern kind of gravitas to their presence, and they'll speak very slowly. They can speak slower. I tend to speak pretty fast. That's my natural pace of speech when I get excited and I'm saying something with energy and I'm engaged with it. So I'm looking at all this and I'm looking at different word usage, pauses, vocal variety, talking loud, talking low, just even mannerisms, things that people do with their hands, how they hold themselves, how they carry themselves, how they look around, the way they hold eye contact. When I look at all this, I can see distinct styles that each speaker has. And each one of them, as I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh, I really like the way he does that. I really love his style. I want to copy that. I want to be like that. Or then I see, no, wait. There's this other guy who's even better. Look at his style. His style is like all serious and people are listening to him. He's got a lot of power in the way he's communicating. Or wait, look at that guy. He's all humorous and lighthearted, and people will really resonate with that if I'm going to be humorous and lighthearted just like that. And so it's easy to get caught up in that. And the reason I'm using this example is because this example easily generalizes to life in any domain. At work, in your relationship, whatever. Follow along here and pay really close attention. Because here's what's happening, is that I'm looking at stuff and I'm seeing something that I appreciate, something within me is like resonating with that energy that's in that person. But on the same hand, what I'm doing is I'm kind of sacrificing my own values. And I'm sacrificing my own vision, and I'm subordinating it to this other person, in a sense, by idolizing him or by trying to be him, trying to emulate him, and putting him on a pedestal and saying, look, he's got it down just the way I want. And now when you do that kind of process, all of a sudden, what did you just do? You put him up here and you put yourself down here. Now you have to climb your way up. And you have to like work to get to perfection. You have to work up and basically become that person. And of course, when you're comparing yourself to that person like that, what chance do you really have of being him? You don't. The best that you can be is to be your authentic self. And that's a little bit of a loaded term to say, because some people might interpret that as saying, well, my authentic self means that I don't really work on myself, I'm perfect the way I am, I just sit back, relax, and I'm cool. That's not quite what that means. You still have to work on yourself, and you have to, in fact, do a lot of work to get to your authentic self. Because right now, who you are is not your authentic self. Who you are is blocked up and obscured by all this grime, limiting beliefs, stuff from the media, people you're idolizing and trying to be like, pressures from the outside imposed on you. And basically what you need to be is you need to be a force that imposes itself on the world rather than the other way around. So in this case, I was looking at these different figures, these different people, and admiring them. And then I caught myself and I said, you know what? To be really successful as a speaker, I'm gonna have to grow into my own style. And sure, I should be studying these people. By no means am I saying that it's wrong to be studying and to looking at other sources for inspiration or even downright just copying things from people. You know, that old adage of the best artists know how to steal and hide their sources. That's kind of the same thing here. It's okay to take things that are appropriate for you, but you gotta make sure that they're appropriate for you. And you're not taking them just because you like them in that person. You know, if someone has a style of speaking that's very humorous and lighthearted, and I'm trying, and I'm not humorous and lighthearted, but now I all of a sudden envy him, and I try to live into that, what I'm doing there, maybe that's the right move, but what I could be doing there also is I could be sacrificing some of my own strengths and some of my own uniqueness of my own mannerisms, my own voice, my own natural pace of talking, my own sense of humor that I might have. I'm sacrificing and subordinating those and saying, you know what, those aren't important. Those aren't as cool as those over there. And it's literally the same effect that you get when you're in school, right? And you look up to, if you're like a freshman, you look up to the seniors because you think the seniors are cooler. And so it's not so important what you think, it's like important what the seniors think. And now you want to like fit in with that. And when you do that, you don't end up looking cool, you end up looking stupid. And that's in fact what makes the seniors cool, is that they don't care. And they're doing their own thing, whereas you care too much and you're trying to be like them. So you got to flip that whole thing around. And you got to reframe it and understand that you have some authentic strengths and some authentic way of expressing that you need to go out there and you need to find, you need to discover it. And that's still something that I'm trying to discover right now. I'm trying to discover what my voice is as a speaker. And that's going to probably take me a year or two to get that down, because I just need to experiment and see what's working. And I can already see a lot of progress, but I need to study more people. But at the same time, as I'm doing that, I don't need to be giving away and selling away some of the strengths that I might have. I need to be true to those. So it's a delicate process. There's no clear-cut way to say how this is done. The other point that I want to make here about style is that really style is an advanced level thing. And I carry this through from pickup that I've been involved with for a few years now. And there, what I learned from pickup is that there are different people who have different styles of flirting and different ways of dating, different ways of interacting with women. And as I was looking at guys interacting with women in different ways, I was seeing that, wait, hold on. Like, this guy has a really interesting way of picking up a girl in the club. He does it this way. And wait a minute, this guy has a totally different way, and he does it in this other way. And I interacted with so many people, so many of the best people, just like exceptional people, some of the best pickup artists in the world. And I interacted with them and I talked to them, I picked their brains, I looked at what they were doing, and I just noticed such a variety of styles. And then I'm kind of like looking at myself and I'm like, well, I'm nowhere near any of their levels. And like, what's my style? Should I be like the cool James Bond type? Should I be like the funny, flirty, dancing clown monkey type? Should I be very sexual and aggressive, or should I be very social and friendly? Like, there's all sorts of different styles and ways that you can go about it. And what's crazy is that like each one of those can be very successful if you implement it correctly. But on the other hand, you also have to be kind of true to yourself and to your own personality. And it's tricky to figure that out, because when you're starting off and you're not good at flirting, you're not good at socializing in loud club environments, then you don't really know how that stuff works, and you don't know what your style should be. And that's something that you also have to go through, and you have to kind of go on a journey of figuring that out. That takes a while. And what I learned from that is that style is also an advanced thing. When you're just starting off, when you're new, and by new I mean a couple of years into anything, whenever you're trying to master something, so maybe like, take an example, maybe you're trying to get good at your career, and there's someone in your career that maybe at your office, or someone in the industry that you're in, who you're trying to like kind of emulate, copy, he's maybe like a mentor of yours, and you really admire him, and you're trying to live up to that image. Well, that's great. That's a great thing to do. But you also have to understand that the style that he has that you admire right now, you are not meant to have that. That's something you develop when you're 5 years in, 10 years in, 20 years in. That's what's cool, is that people that become masters end up having a style because they have like quirks of theirs in their personality that just come through their mannerisms, the little subtle ways that they do things, little ways that they adopt the techniques to their own style. And that style comes out after a very long process where they've done it so many different ways and they've interacted with so many people, they've seen and tried on so many different things that finally they settled into a groove. And it's natural for them. They don't feel like they have to impress anybody anymore, because after 20 years, who do you have to impress? You have no one to impress. So you don't have that. You just love doing what you're doing. You're so immersed in it. You're in the flow that really it becomes unconscious. And they do it unconsciously. So when a speaker is up there and he's talking and he's a really good speaker, he has all those mannerisms, but those are not forced. Maybe they were a long, long time ago, but now they become completely unconscious. He's totally mastered them. And they really dovetail completely with his personality. And so now he has a style. And that style is not a forced style. It's kind of like just like a natural style that emanates from what he's doing. It's very organic. And actually, that is what's very magnetic and attractive about that, is when you have a very organic, fluid, natural style that seems to mesh with your real personality, whether it's in public speaking or in any kind of other thing that you're mastering, whether relationships or dating or the way that you do your fitness routine or the way that you're doing things at work, right? If you're looking for a style right now, I want you to ask yourself, how far in are you into the mastery process? If you're still in the early phases, then don't worry too much about the style. The style will develop itself more or less spontaneously as you go out there and develop more mastery, develop more proficiency. In fact, what I would say is go out there and soak in all the different variety of styles that are there. So hang out with one type of person at your job, then hang out with the totally opposite of that type of person at your job, if you can find that, and see how their styles compare. Try them on for size. See what you like about one style, what you might not like about the other style. So there might be pros and cons. Someone who speaks very fast as a public speaker, there might be some cons to that because people are not able to follow along the message, but maybe there's also some pros to that. Maybe he's delivering the message with a certain energy. So you have to go out there and kind of see what works for you, what works for your life, what works for your psychology, what works for your audience, what works for whatever field you're working in. And that's what's really cool and actually really rewarding about the mastery process and about committing yourself to some sort of aim and purpose in life, is that once you're able to master something, then you are able to express very authentically, very naturally, without being self-conscious about it. Because when you're in the new early phases of whatever it is you're trying to learn, it's going to be a little bit forced, right? So if you're learning a new musical instrument, then maybe you're copying someone, you don't have a flow, you don't have a rhythm yet. You'll get that when you become a master of that instrument. Or even, for example, with singing, like one thing that I'll do is I'll be driving in my car and I'll be looking and listening to the radio stations and I'll be hearing a great song, and then I'll be kind of thinking like, you know, if I was a musician, I wonder what my voice would sound like, what my songs would be like. And it's hard for me to imagine that because I listen to a song and I'm like, oh, that's a really awesome song. I love the way that he's singing there. I love the way that she's vocalizing that. Like, I don't see myself having that same kind of voice. So how would I sing that song? It would probably not work out very well. And then I start thinking, well, like, could I get myself to be like that voice? Could I get myself to be like that kind of band or that kind of style? And then what I realize is that it's the wrong way to think about it. When you're a really talented musician or singer, you're not really copying someone directly like that. If you are, then you're probably like a B or a C or a D-list musician. You're not like a rock star, because the rock star has a genuine voice. At some point, he had to figure that out, but eventually he developed a genuine self-expressive voice, and he owns it now, even like the imperfections in it, even the quirks. Sometimes you'll hear someone sing, and their singing is kind of flat and maybe boring, but the fact is that they own it, and that's like the style of the music. That's the style of the band. They actually make the music to match that voice. And so when you match the music to the voice, you actually come out with something that's unique, original, authentic, And that's really the important thing. That's what makes it interesting. That's what makes it attractive. That's what makes it sellable. That's what makes it appealing on a mass scale, is that it is something unique. It was something that someone just like poured their soul into and wasn't looking around to see how they would be interpreted. And that's where a lot of times artists will trip up, is that sometimes when an artist is not secure in where they're coming from, then what they'll do is they'll look around and they'll try to see, you know, what's the hot trend? What's the cool thing? How are people singing right now that's selling the most records? And maybe I should go and do that. But if you try to do it that way, you usually end up having bad results. Not only do you have bad results, but you also don't feel the way that a real rock star feels. Because a real rock star, besides having all the kind of cliche perks of being a rock star, I think the real benefit, and I mean the real fulfillment in being a rock star, is that you get to go out on stage and just like express your soul, express yourself, and just like create the kind of music that you want to create. And that feels amazing when you're coming from that position. So I want that from you. I want that kind of self-expression from you. So figure out what you need to do that. Start thinking about where you might be emulating too much. And also maybe give yourself some time to develop that style. And remember that style is an advanced level thing, and that it will come naturally if you just explore and are just really passionate. Let yourself be passionate and kind of follow your passions and tastes and own them to a certain extent. Don't be totally rigid with them, but also don't totally deny them. You gotta find that balance. That balance cannot be found through a book, through a video. You have to go out there in the real world, experiment, trial and error, and find it. But what I'm trying to tell you here is that you need to go out there and find it, or give yourself the time and get immersed into something until you're able to develop it. Because the fulfillment that you get from that is going to be amazing. And I think that you have some imagination of what that feels like, because there have been moments in your life where you were able to self-express, whether it's in a joke that you told, or being authentic on a date that you went on, or you know, just chatting with friends, or in something you created at work that just like really showcased your vision, your values, your creative expression, and how good that felt, especially when other people then recognized you for it and said, like, you know, that's really cool. I really liked what you did there. That's a really awesome piece of work that you did. And it's like, yeah, you know, I did do that awesome piece of work. And it didn't come from copying someone else. It came from like somewhere deep within me. That is an awesome feeling. That's what I want for you. I think that's what a charged life is like, is when you have a lot of that feeling very consistently. So take this concept and run with it. Go and apply it. All right. I'm going to be signing off. Go ahead, post me some comments. I'd like to hear what you think on this topic, as always. And then please like and share this. Spread this message around, because I publish these videos for free. And of course, go to actualize.org for more advanced personal development videos on how to charge up your life.